I'm gonna think
I'm right. Drink. So I'd like to review some work that is contained in these two papers, one with David Sahakian, who is a student at Chicago, and a second paper with Volodya Kozakov and Ivan Kostov from Paris. One way of introducing the problem that I'll be dealing with is to think about the dynamics at singularities in string theory. For example, we might think of a vacuum of string theory which looks like d-dimensional Minkowski space times a Calabi-Yau manifold with a singular point over there. And of course, if we take the g-string goes to zero limit in this situation, we expect the physics in the bulk of the Calabi-Yau manifold to become completely trivial. But in principle, there's a variety of arguments that at the singular point, there should be non-trivial dynamics. For example, deep brains that are wrapped around vanishing cycles in this limit remain interacting, one can argue. And even the extreme infrared limit of these theories is often non-trivial. The degrees of freedom in terms of which these dynamics at the singularity should be formulated are not really well understood. For example, there is no picture which is like that of deep brains, where there is a gauge theory, which of course has been very useful for studying deep brains. There's some vague picture in that fundamental strings that are trapped at the singularity should play an important role. But as we will see, if this is true, these are fundamental strings in some new universality class, and they're not really well understood. Now, it's not easy to study this theory, but I think the effort is worth it. So before I start, I just wanted to mention some of the many applications of this. It arises in matrix theory. In fact, this was the original setup in which this theory was discussed. Also, QCD strings might have to do with this new universality class of strings that I just mentioned. They are supposed to arise in the context of Nevesh-Ward's five brains wrapped around Riemann surfaces, which are closely related to this. And as we heard earlier in this conference, we might even be living at such a singularity. And so if that's the case, we probably should know what the dynamics is. Now, two-dimensional string theory, as studied in detail 10 years ago, is a very closely related model to this. What this is simply a two-dimensional Minkowski space, you know, with a flat metric and a linear dilaton along the spatial direction. And it can actually be thought of as a special case of this general construction that I've just indicated applied to the bosonic string. And the interesting thing about this particular special case of the general setup is that in this case, there is, in fact, a good understanding of the degrees of freedom that live at the singularity. These degrees of freedom are supposed to be described by matrix quantum mechanics in a double scaling limit. And so we can presumably do more. I guess the reason I think this is a very interesting toy model of little string theory is that, it suggests that there should be an independent formulation of this theory. Independent of the one that I'm going to be describing in this paper in terms of the near horizon geometry. And B, this even in this two-dimensional case, we should be able to analyze many aspects of what I'm going to discuss here in terms of this matrix quantum mechanics. So what I'd like to do here is describe some simple calculations that explain the high energy thermodynamics of these systems. And I'll leave the main results of this on this projector, just in case I don't get to some of them. So the main results are the following. We will show that the high energy density of states that live at all of these singularities has a Hagedorn behavior with this typical form. We will compute the Hagedorn temperature and this number alpha. And we will show that this alpha depends in an interesting way on the parameters defining the model, which presumably gives some hints about the degrees of freedom that give rise to this high energy density of states. We will also show that the thermodynamics is unstable in this case, which means that the specific heat is negative, and that there is therefore a finite temperature phase transition around that Hagedorn temperature. And as a consequence of that, we will show that there is an unstable mode or a tachyon in the near horizon geometry of these singularities, which has to do with this thermodynamic instability. So let me get to the actual framework for obtaining all of these results. So, you know, as usual in theories of this sort, one expects the high energy density of states to be dominated by black hole states or black brain states in the case of the higher dimensional theories. And I will mainly discuss two examples. One, the example of N flat Nevesh-Ward's five brains, which is a 5+1 dimensional vacuum of little string theory. And in that case, there's been a lot of work on what this near extremal near horizon geometry is for a black five brain. And what it looks like, as shown by these people, is the following. The background has this cigar shape with Euclidean time living on a circle whose asymptotic radius goes like the square root of the number of five brains. The radial direction away from the D brains closes up. This is the Euclidean version of the horizon. The dilaton varies along the radial direction. And at the horizon, or the Euclidean version of the horizon, it goes like 1 over the energy density of five brains. So the larger the energy density on the five brains, the more weakly coupled this string theory vacuum is. And of course, there's also the R5 world volume of the five brains and the radial three spheres away from the five brains that always go along for the ride. I'll denote this geometry by M in future transparencies, just not to repeat this. Now, in two-dimensional string theory, things are even simpler. And all you have is this Euclidean black hole, which, of course, as shown by Witten, is described by this SL2 mod U1 coset, same one. And the Hagedorn temperature, or the radius of Euclidean time in that case, is just some finite number in string units. And again, we have the value of the dilaton at the tip of the cigar governed by the mass. So the main thing to remember out of all of this is that, as usual in black hole thermodynamics, when we study string theory in this thermal background, the string loop expansion is a 1 over energy expansion. So we will get, by studying classical string theory on this background, very high energy results, and then we will be able to study corrections to them. Now, in detail, what we would like to do is the following. We would like to compute the canonical free energy. This is what Gibbons and Hawking instruct us to do. And the procedure relates the free energy, or the log of the canonical partition sum, to the single string partition sum expanded in a power series in G string. So indeed, we see that we will get some 1 over energy type series. And the problem, essentially, is to compute the genus H contributions to the partition sum in this background, which I called M in previous transparencies. And that will, in principle, determine the high energy thermodynamics. So in the rest of this talk, I will compute the first two terms, the Z0 and Z1. That will give rise to those results for the entropy versus energy, et cetera. And we'll discuss them. All right, so I'll do the calculation for this case of flat Nevesh-Ward's five brains, because as we will see, it has a little bit more structure. But the calculation is essentially the same for two-dimensional string theory, where it can also be done, as Volodya Kozakov explained, in matrix quantum mechanics. So let's start from this Z0 term, the spherical partition sum, which is the leading one at large energies. Well, the partition sum is just the product of the partition sums for the cigar, the S3 and the R5. The last two factors are not that interesting. One gives the volume of the 5 brain, which actually is interesting, but not for this particular term. And the second one gives some factor of n, which is just the volume of the S3. But the partition sum on the cigar is where all the fun is in this problem. And what happens there is the following. There's a divergence due to the volume of SL2, this SL2 here. We have to divide by the volume of another SL2, which is the conformal Killing group of the sphere. That by itself would give a finite result, but something interesting that happens here because of the Wolchit supersymmetry of this model is that fermionic zero modes make the partition sum zero. And what's important for this particular cancellation is that there is an accidental n equal to 2 superconformal symmetry of the Wolchit theory on this cigar, which naively has just n equal 1 superconformal symmetry. But the bottom line is that the partition sum on the sphere does vanish. And so if we go back to this general story here, the leading term in the free energy, the term that would go like the energy, vanishes. And therefore, the free energy, as we see from this map, vanishes to leading order in the 1 over E expansion. But that's indeed exactly what we would have suspected anyway from the thermodynamics, because if you just look at the cigar, the Hagedorn temperature is just some number that depends only on N. The dilaton determines the energy density on the 5 brains in this case, and the two are independent of each other. So if you plug this into the thermodynamic relation, that means that the entropy just goes like beta Hagedorn times the energy, and therefore the free energy vanishes. This is actually in the gravity approximation, a result that is already 8 years old or so, and it's due to Gibbons and Perry and Nappi and Poschinucci. Now, since in the leading approximation, we got degenerate thermodynamics, we got a vanishing free energy and the temperature independent of the energy, we clearly would like to compute corrections, 1 over energy corrections to this formula in order to see which way it goes, whether the thermodynamics actually is stabilized by the one loop corrections or whether it's destabilized by them. So as I mentioned previously, what we expect to see is a correction which in terms of the energy entropy relation looks like this, some alpha log E. That's the analog of this term E to the alpha in the density of states. And at least if the integral that defines the canonical partition sum is dominated by high energy states, this would mean that the partition sum should go near the Hagedorn temperature like this, like some power of beta minus beta Hagedorn. And of course, the reason I'm writing this relation is that there is indeed such a region in which high energy states dominate. So if you plug this in, there's some very straightforward manipulation lead to the fact that the free energy then should go like log of the energy times this coefficient minus alpha plus 1. And so if we go to our general story, we see where we would get this information from. Since it goes like energy to the power 0, or e to the 0 times phi, this should be the torus term. But there's a slight surprise. The torus contribution is now expected not to go like 1, as is indicated here, but there's some sort of logarithmic scaling violation. And so what I'm going to do next is explain how to compute this alpha. But before I do that, let me just mention, well, I guess I did that already, that the sine of alpha determines the instability of the thermodynamics. And we will also see that the dependence of alpha on the parameters of this model gives some hints as to what are the microscopic degrees of freedom that describe the dynamics of these 5 brains. All right, so how do we compute this coefficient Z1? Again, all the fun is in the cigar part of the partition sum. And in principle, it's infinite, because if you think about the torus path integral for a given Wolchit torus with certain modulus tau, there's an infinity coming from the region very far from the tip of the cigar. Now, this is standard and well-known how to deal with. What people typically do in this situation is cut off the region very far from the cigar. In other words, stop the phi coordinate from running to infinity. This is something you can think of as a UV cutoff in little string theory. And then the cigar becomes effectively finite of length phi UV minus something you can call phi IR. And if you think about what this is, it does depend on the energy because the position of the tip depends on the energy. And the dependence on the energy of this length is there's some enormous constant minus log of the energy. So as the energy grows, the cigar becomes shorter. And this dependence of the length of the cigar on the energy is the source of this logarithmic scaling violation that we're going to discuss. So in other words, the partition sum of the cigar on the torus has a bulk contribution coming from the infinite cylinder very far from the tip, and then there is going to be also a sort of boundary type contribution from the tip. And of course, we are interested in the contribution of this long cylinder because we're interested in the term in Z1 that goes like log of the energy and therefore like the length of the cylinder. So let's do this calculation. It's actually at this point, since the cylinder is just essentially flat space, you can just open your favorite textbook in string theory and the answer is right there. Well, I guess I will not spend too much time on this formula. There are factors of the volume, zero mode integrals, the oscillators on R5. This is the partition sum of the three sphere, SU2, W, ZW, of a level that is determined by the number of five brains. This is taken straight out of Attic and Witten. There are some phases. So this is the contribution of Wolchit fermions, which are free. These are the GSO projection phases at zero temperature. There is a correction at finite temperature having to do with the fact that space-time fermions have to be antiperiodic around the Euclidean time direction, whereas space-time bosons have to be periodic. And that's the usual Schwinger factor of finite temperature partition sums. So of course, we're basically there because this Z1 is given by some integral. So this the whole modular integral here is just a function of n, the number of five brains. And Z1 is proportional to log of the energy just because of the dependence of the length of the cylinder on the energy. And so if we extract the coefficient of the log of the energy, we get a very similar looking formula for this alpha. Which again is given by some modular integral. You can easily convince yourselves that it's convergent. The Hagedorn temperature is very low, again, if the number of five brains is large. And I guess the last thing I should mention about this is that the integral is manifestly positive. Since it's convergent, the fact that there are absolute values here, and you can convince yourself that the partition sum of SU2 WZW is positive. This is certainly a positive definite integral. There's an overall minus sign, which simply comes from that minus log E in the dependence of the length of the cigar on the energy. So the final conclusion from all of this is that this alpha is a large negative number. So since this alpha, remember what alpha is the power of energy in the density of states in front of the exponential. And since it is a large negative number proportional to the volume of these five brains, the thermodynamics is unstable. I think I wrote at some point in previous transparencies the energy-entropy relation that is associated with that entropy, with that density of states. And what one finds is that the energy is assumed here to be a large positive number, alpha is negative, and therefore we see that what this is describing is a situation where temperatures are above the Hagedorn temperature and the specific heat is furthermore negative. So this leads to a number of immediate questions that are well understood in systems of this sort. One is what happens below the Hagedorn temperature. You know, this energy temperature relation just describes the region above the Hagedorn temperature. And the answer is that if you look at systems with this sort of density of states as the one that we found, what you will discover is that, of course, at very low temperatures, the specific heat is positive. It's just some field theory, presumably. As you heat up the system, it will reach the Hagedorn temperature at some finite value of the energy density, and the system will undergo a phase transition at or around the Hagedorn temperature. Now, what happens above this Hagedorn temperature is a good question, but one thing that we do expect to see in general is because the specific heat is negative, we should see a negative mode in the Euclidean cigar background. The two are almost equivalent statements. And, or more precisely, I should say that since the thermodynamics we've been talking about is marginal classically, the temperature is independent of the energy, and it only becomes unstable when we include the one-loop corrections, we expect a massless mode in the classical theory, which becomes tachyonic quantum mechanically. Now, at this point, if you try to analyze supergravity in this background M that I've been talking about, you will discover that there is no suitable candidate for that. So, which I suppose from some point of view is surprising because it's usually stated that if the number of five brains is very large, you can trust supergravity because the cigar is weakly curved. If the energy density is very large, the string coupling is small. So there's no reason why there should be anything beyond supergravity in this model. And so, but however, the supergravity calculation would give a negative specific heat in this case, and there would be no unstable mode in the calculation. Interestingly, when you do string theory on this manifold, you do find a mode that is unstable, but it's not a supergravity mode. It's a it's something that we're very well familiar with. It's a fermionic string mode, which is the so-called fermionic string tachyon. It has winding number one around the Euclidean cigar, and it somehow manages to be massless despite the fact that the asymptotic radius of the cigar is very large. The reason it manages to do that is that its wave function is actually not localized at infinity. It's localized close to the tip of the cigar, and there the cigar is not that large. And by an explicit calculation that I do not have time to describe, you find that its mass is exactly zero classically. Now, at one loop, we believe, but we certainly have not shown, that this mass will receive a correction. Well, masses typically do get corrections, especially in non-supersymmetric cases like this, at one loop. But the question is that of a sign. If the correction looks like this here, with a constant C which is positive, then we're in business. Then this mode that we showed is massless classically becomes tachyonic as we include one-loop corrections, and the whole story is consistent. Of course, I should emphasize that this needs to be checked explicitly. There's a very concrete formalism for doing that, and we haven't really done that so far. And the other thing is that just like in critical string theory, the high temperature phase should involve condensation of this mode. Now, another very interesting feature of this story, which I will not have time to go through the details of, is that if you make the Neve-Schwarz five-brain compact, if you replace the R5 world volume by an S1 to the 5 and study this alpha as a function of the size of the manifold, you get the following kind of structure. At very large R, you just get this volume dependence that we've been talking about. But then, at sizes of the compact manifold of the order of the natural scale of little string theory, square root of NL string, the thing saturates. And this power alpha just remains constant all the way from square root of N, 1 over square root of NL string, square root of NL string, all the way up to L string, where you can stop because T-duality of the little string theory takes over. In fact, for large N, you can just explicitly compute that modular integral, and you get answers that look like this. I mean, some explicit functions, zeta functions, et cetera. And this constant number here is not only independent of the size of the manifold, it's also independent of n, the number of five brains. And it just approaches some finite number of order one. So I've been talking about five brains, but I should emphasize that the two-dimensional string theory story is completely analogous to this. As you can imagine from the presentation, I can just repeat everything I said. So I don't, I'm not going to talk about the low temperature thermodynamics, which is quite familiar. At high energies, we find the same sort of behavior with a Hagedorn temperature of order one, and this coefficient, which I'm now calling S1 here, some number that you compute, which is also of order one. So basically, the thermodynamics of this two-dimensional string theory is like that of small five brains. And I should say that this result is independently derived in the matrix quantum mechanics in the calculations that Volodya Kozakov outlined and in the formalism that I've been using here. Now, we would really like to do, the obvious next step in this program, would be to try to understand the Hagedorn densities of states that I've been talking about here from some sort of microscopic analysis. This is a Gibbons-Hawking type analysis where you just get thermodynamic functions, but we would like to count the states. So in little string theory, again, there are these arguments that the microscopic degrees of freedom have something to do with strings living inside the five brains. And the results that we got here seem to suggest that unlike conventional strings, these new strings do not become long or infinitely long. Remember that the analog of the power alpha for ordinary critical strings just tells you how the random walks that strings perform in space take place. And the fact that this alpha has the features that I described seem to suggest that there's a picture like this, that these microscopic strings never get larger than square root of n times L string. And so when the size of the manifold is smaller than that, you just get the single string kind of spectrum. But when the size of the manifold is larger, you eventually get just ordinary extensive behavior. And in two-dimensional string theory, this Hagedorn density of states should come from non-singlet states of matrix quantum mechanics, as I think Volodya mentioned. These are non-perturbative states in two-dimensional string theory. And unlike the previous transparency, what I just said here is a very well-defined problem that remains to be analyzed. Thank you.
Questions? Okay, if there are no questions, we'll thank the speaker again. And before we break, there's an announcement. All those interested in going to Manekgarh for the trek, there's